So introduce this next session. We're going to talk about the production piece. When we talk about transformation and how critical it is to start at the beginning, we like to say inception to infinity. There's a thousand ways to talk about this. But certainly to set up this session, he's the Vice President of Products for Entertainment Partners. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Darren Ehlers.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me? Yeah, so this is obviously a very influential conference. I noticed Box's stock price is already up 1% this morning, so congratulations to everyone. It's a real pleasure for me to be able to introduce this panel. If you know who I am, this is a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. When we launched Synchronize 7 years ago, we brought unprecedented automation, security, efficiencies to the production office. And the production office at the time was really the Wild West of the production world. We worked with the studios and our productions to really pull that together and bring a solution that really helped them do that. So it's great now to see 7 years later we have whole panels dedicated to this topic because we really kind of brought this, I think, to the thing. Some of the panelists were our earliest adopters. So a lot of the folks in this room are our customers. So thank you to all of you for your support over the years. Synchronize is now at Entertainment Partners, with our whole original team is still there. We're over the Movie Magic products and some of the other production office tools, including Smart Start, which we'll be highlighting later today in our breakout session. Smart Start is truly a game-changing product in terms of digitally onboarding. We talked about the digital transformation. Taking a paper process that's been the same as it's been for 30 years, which is horrible, and fully digitally converting that into a fully automated process. It goes straight from signing in on your phone, the crew can fill out all their stuff, goes all the way straight through the payroll system. No people involved. So it's a great example, talking to what Aaron was mentioning earlier about how we're doing that. As we look forward to our next act, we're going to be looking at how does Movie Magic and Synchronize really work together and kind of bringing next generation products of each of those to the market. So please stay tuned. So thanks for letting me introduce everyone. Thank you, Devendra. Over to you.
This has to be the finest hour for a professor who gets to question people who are 10 times smarter than he is. So thank you for being part of this panel. Because I know you so well, I'd rather leave it up to you to maybe introduce yourselves and share with this community what transformational stuff you are currently engaged in. So, Christopher, if I may start with you, sir.
Sure. I'm Christopher Stefanidis. I'm Vice President of Digital Distribution, Operations, and Strategy for Walt Disney Pictures and Television. I also oversee our post-theatrical operations planning across the product lifecycle. So first and foremost, because we are a content producer, content provider, content licensor, et cetera, content distributor, what the largest challenge for us is in today's marketplace, particularly in the digital distribution space, is standards adoption. And identifying opportunities of how we scale our digital distribution business and drive efficiencies and accommodate the challenges and the ever-changing complexity of all the distributables amongst a variety of partners. And frankly, there's a number of standards, associations, and bodies, but the lack of engagement still worldwide across all those platforms is frankly very, very frustrating and challenging for us. And so we're obviously a very large participant with trade associations that are attempting to standardize this, but there's a whole lot of legwork still to be done globally.
Thank you. Bill?
William Allen, responsible for television production systems and strategy for Fox Television. The question was current challenges and transformational obstacles. Don't have any.
Speaks like Mr. Murdoch, Sir Murdoch, yes.
Drivers are still time to market and security. our issues are around standardization. If we can't get everybody doing the same thing, we can't secure it and we can't optimize it. Currently, we're focused on our production network infrastructure. We're refitting the entire thing from switches to firewalls to monitoring tools, and that'll probably take us 7 or 8 years, so I'll see you at the next one of these.
Right. Felice.
Felice Bahmanpour. I'm responsible for production technology at NBC Universal. I mean, in terms of challenge, I guess, as you know, being part of Comcast NBC Universal, we look at our businesses from, we have feature, we have TV, we have digital for sure. So I guess if I were to narrow down the scope a little bit to my area, the biggest challenges is really the gap between, the processes that we're trying to digitize and improve is quite a bit. While we're doing that, maybe very no-brainer digitization efforts, and some were mentioned, in the introduction, such as digital onboarding or, digitizing some of the stuff that are happening in Excel spreadsheets. We also need to put our, net a little bit wider and be on the, cutting edge of technology around what's happening in AI and how can we help research area to focus on better development scripts and, kind of catching some of the product development in the beginning of the life cycle, as well as what's happening in VR and AI. How can we basically use those technologies, bring as an empowerment to our businesses, and business partnership is tremendously, strong one these days because the lines are a lot more blurry. Businesses are more technology oriented, and IT and technology is more business oriented. So those are the kind of two edges that we're working with.
Thank you, Felice. The word Netflix was used more times this morning than Hits was.
Yes. No,
so I am upset, but that's okay.
I have to say, I really truly enjoyed Aaron's presentation, and I feel like he really used Netflix streaming as an example of a company and industry that really transformed and brought digital. And I have to say, so I'm Amy Tornikos. I work for Netflix production technology team. And our focus is very much true to kind of how we've approached streaming and how we did in the past, where we're truly looking at how things are done today and not just how to digitize existing workflows, but should these workflows be rethought. And really our goals in this is not just, sure we're going to be creating efficiencies on the productions, but it's truly about securing. Security is clearly top of mind. It's about securing. It's about really consolidating information and bridging the gap between studio and production that today is fairly disjoint. And then enabling, studio to gain access to data that we can answer some questions that studio's never been able to answer. So there's a lot of big goals we have. I really enjoyed Aaron's slides because he was talking about some of the challenges. And in this space, I feel like there's a lot of legacy workflows. And a production is ongoing for a period of time, and it's very fast-paced. And to change those workflows is very challenging. So our approach is always to try to find individual simple solutions that we can insert ourselves with that eventually will roll up into a larger, change in how we operate with productions. So it's very exciting space. It's a big challenge, but there's so much opportunity. So
just to extend your thought, Aaron, you are the poster child for Hits, and you are the poster child for innovation. So thank you so much. I was just having an emotional moment driving to this conference this morning. Today is the 40th anniversary of Star Wars. The first film was released exactly 40 years ago today. And I think of the fact that Hollywood is the only true American product the world has really continued to enjoy for over 120 years, right? How does technology create the platform that's required for that intellectual property, for management of those rights, for the whales, for distribution? What's behind all this? If I may pick out Christopher first, and then I'll maybe go down here?
Sure. I think there's two components. Certainly from a rights management perspective, I think we've seen a lot of the software and system development historically was about capturing the rights, managing the rights. And I think we've moved into a new era where we're actually optimizing in that software. So no longer are we torn between a system coupled with an Excel sheet on the side for the complexity of all of the deals. And so that optimization is actually allowing us to plan out, model out windowing strategies that are really driving the different consumer experiences around content access, content availability. The second piece would be on the operational side relative to actual discrete components. So as the content is produced, as the content's made available through its life cycle, the advantage of having additional components and being able to slice and dice those into a more dynamic, more localized experience, a richer experience to differentiate the content as it moves through its life cycle, there's been incredible efforts in a variety of technology dynamics.
I used to work at Warner Brothers International Television Distribution and Domestic Distribution, and rights management was our life. We spent hours developing our own custom software to support availability windows, contract management, and over time, this became unwieldy even before there was OTT content. So we had a tremendous amount of pre-processing that was required just to be able to get a glimpse into what was available for sale. Used to take, I think, it would run overnight. Then it ran into the next morning. Then it ran late into the afternoon. And then by the time I left, you were lucky if you could find a title by 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. So I left before that story reached its inevitable conclusion. What Fox is doing is they've actually taken rights management and moved it underneath the enterprise. So it's typically been underneath international and domestic distribution, but because now everybody can sell something. So if you work in the cafeteria, you can cut a deal with iTunes or some distributor in Norway. So because of that, it's no longer a departmental concern. It's actually an enterprise concern. Along with that, we've constructed a centralized metadata department, and we've actually beefed up content distribution quite a bit as well. There's probably some corporate self-congratulations due. There was some evil genius someplace on the Fox side that decided all of our network infrastructure should be dedicated to secure content delivery, so much so that we all got T-shirts, they rebranded everything, they're no longer infrastructure services, they're secure content delivery. Fast forward, we have our own media framework and cloud, so we're fairly well positioned as far as rights management and content distribution. Nobody knows what's going to happen next, so hopefully whoever's propelling that forward will just keep doing what they've been doing.
Close to it, Felice, right?
Certainly. So my previous role was rights management at NBC Universal. I spent quite a bit of time with my team around rights in component. And of course, I get the chance to learn about the whole process of rights out and availabilities and so on and so forth. But I was thinking this morning, coming, driving to the conference, so this initiative at NBC Universal, and it was a hot topic in Hollywood at the time, 2005. I remember clearly because my daughter is 11 years old now, and at the time I was working on this initiative. And up to that time, it was this linear sort of like there wasn't a lot of innovation in 2005. As the media sort of started, just mobile and the advances in computing, also connectivity, Of course, you know, impacted media quite a bit. And as we started distributing to various, you know, digital platforms, rights became a very important topic, right? Now we could exploit our rights to different media. And I also remembered, you know, I do remember the writer's strike, you know, 6 years ago. And as a result of it, right, Unscripted was born. I mean, it was such a sort of paradigm shift, and today, basically, we have now new studios focusing on alternative. So rights are, you know, still continue to be very, very important, and the, you know, focusing on technology and supporting that, you know, piece of IP is very important.
Thank you for taking us back into history. Amy?
So, yeah, we, you know, as everyone knows here, streaming company for quite some years with licensed content. So we definitely have a team of engineers focusing on in-house solutions for our various vertical, various options for rights management. But now with all of the content creation and the actual creation of content, we're kind of looking at the pipeline going upstream and building onto that on how to adjust this kind of trend of our content becoming more and more Netflix original. So we do have engineers building in-house solutions for us. Again, the challenge is always across the verticals and the various options. How do you accommodate, flatten kind of the way that we manage, but across very many different verticals, so.
Thank you. Here's a community that's really obsessed with the idea of adapting technologies and facing the challenges we have. I really believe that our theatrical box office receipts in terms of actual attendance have been declining. We are in a time-constrained world with so many other options. And we need to get very efficient. And I look around and I look at our supply chain and I find so many linkages that are still very old, antiquated, manual. Would you be kind enough to maybe focus on a few areas close to your heart where you are improving that relationship with the payroll service provider, or you're focusing on inventory control, those mundane blocks of the supply chain? Maybe, Felice, if you would. You have so many.
Here's my theory. So I basically started working with production area 3 years ago. And my theory is that, you know, production is considered to be, for the most part, a creative side of what we do. And, you know, a lot of Excel sheets, a lot of manual work. And what I want to be able to do, hey, this is a creative business. We produce the best content out there. And, you know, just the people work in entertainment industry, either, you know, passionate about entertainment or technology, one or the other, and sometimes both. So I guess my goal is to bring, you know, the automation there so that, you know, a full-time person doesn't spend just merging data. Or, you know, if we're working with 70 active productions in the studio at the same time, you know, some in Canada, some in Chicago, some in Los Angeles, the consolidation of that data shouldn't be manual. So there's a lot of initiatives, and I have some of my business partners here. We're working together to sort of illuminate those mundane work, period. Outside of that, you mentioned asset management. That's the another area that we're focusing on primarily nowadays to ensure that all of the, you know, the assets that are purchased by productions and shows are captured at the time of the purchase, and basically, you know, we can check in, check out, repurpose, rent, that type of stuff can be done much more effectively. Certainly, we're focusing a lot on efficiency, and as I mentioned, you know, the other focus is innovation, but, you know, since your question was efficiency, those are some of the things.
Thank you, Felice. I want to go back, if I may, to you, Amy. I feel overwhelmed by the scaling of new production that Netflix, YouTube, yeah, that you've been doing in recent years. And I'm just wondering what's behind all this from the point of conception of an idea to production to distribution. What makes it all happen?
You know, I think a lot of it lands on my team to figure out and make sure that as the creatives have this budget and these ideas and these fantastic productions, that we ensure that we can continue to scale properly and contain the right quality, right? So you could throw manual resources on scaling, and it's only going to go so far. Your quality is going to go down. So it's really up to the production technology team that I work with to make sure that we find the biggest pain points today, because we have so much to do in this space when we're talking about efficiencies, right? There's so many things. Every time I go into production office, my head spins and I get excited and then it's like it explodes. But, you know, there's so many things to do. So we really try our best to say what are the biggest wins and prioritize those. So prioritization is something that we probably talk about I don't know how many times a day. It's exhausting, but it's necessary because there's so much to do in this space. So what we do is we really identify what are the biggest wins, and not just for the efficiency of the production, but what the studio needs as far as information to make better decisions as they're scaling and making decisions so quickly. So as our content increases, we're going to have to make decisions faster. And if we're going to make decisions faster and we want to make the right ones, we need data. We need intelligence behind that. So how are we going to get that data? Is it going to be the traditional methods where it's spreadsheets and papers and across the board all over the place compartmentalized? No, we're trying to really centralize that data. And so the more data we have, the more intelligent decisions we can make. So we're doing our best to pick those wins, but we do know that every time we pick something into this pipeline of content creation and really where we want to go with the digital era is how do we make sure that each time we choose something to work on, that it fits into the bigger picture, right? Because we need to get there and we know where that is. It's going to take some time, but.
So if I may put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Give me one idea where we should really request the studios to consider that would improve the interface between the content providers and an enterprise like yours.
I kind of spoke to this. I feel like, you know, I really enjoyed Aaron's slides because it really spoke to a lot of what needs to happen to change into a digital era. And one of the things that I think is really key is like the transparency and the collaboration. So flattening layers, right? Having information available across all parties to make quick, better decisions. Having that transparency and trust, you know. For example, at Netflix, we come from a culture of like freedom, responsibility. All of our employees have access to almost anything. And because of that, we're able to empower ourselves to make quick decisions. And I really feel like, you know, more efforts where we bridge the gap between a production and a studio is going to help us, right, each other, work together closer as partners.
It's a question that I don't want to ask Amy, but I want to ask you, Christopher. Here is an enterprise that takes a product and, what, puts it in 109 different languages, 190 different countries, rolls it out seamlessly. I have a feeling Disney does that too, in its own unique way. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, you're right. I mean, one of the key factors from a Disney perspective is localization. So we've realized with our filmmakers and our content producers that the way to go global is to reach the consumer. The way to reach the consumer is message at that local level. So whatever that may be, the dynamics of localized languages, dubs, subtitles, or even storytelling that's culturally centric, that's the way to connect to the consumer. Huge priority at our company.
Fox is huge internationally from a television point of view. You must face very similar challenges of localization.
Yes, but I suppose my focus is...
Any insights, Amy, to add?